Let's get this party started.
Hello, Christmas music lovers. I'm your host, Scott. Joining me is my co-host, Dwayne. How's it going, Dwayne?
It's going great. And how are you, Scott?
Good. We're only a few days away from the first Burr month, and that's exciting.
It is exciting. And speaking of Burr, at the moment it's 11 degrees here in New Zealand, so that's about 51 degrees for you guys.
Oh, that's lovely.
It is. It's raining outside, but it's warm, and I'm in shorts, bare feet, and t-shirt. It's it's great.
Yeah, we're getting to the end of summer here in Denver, and it's still hot. We're in the 90s. I'm really looking forward to a change. We did have a low sometime last week, and it was 49 degrees Fahrenheit, and I don't know what that is in Celsius, but when we go below 50, that's when things start to get pretty exciting for me. So I was happy to see that.
Yeah, so that's about 10 or 11 degrees Celsius, so yeah.
Oh yeah, you just said that, you're right. Sorry, math is hard.
It's all right. It's early here and it's probably late there.
It's also our birthday month, and that's pretty exciting. 5 years, Dwayne. I'm going to say congratulations to you first, because this was your brainchild. You did most of the work for the first 4 years, so I can't take a ton of credit in there. So let me be the first to wish you a happy birthday.
Well, thank you. I didn't think I would get it past a year, let alone this long, you know, 5 years down. And I really appreciate when you and Jay took over last year. And I didn't realize how much I'd miss it. So I'm glad to be back. It's been this year's been great.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back too. I'm glad we gave you a little bit of runway to do the things that you needed to do. We had some fun, but I'm really happy with the groove that you and I have settled into now. I'm liking it.
Same here. It was always a little bit lonely doing it by myself, and I always thought, you know, a co-host would be great, but I didn't quite know how to incorporate that in. So this has just naturally happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's not forced. It's just happened.
It just happened and it worked.
Yeah. It's not quite my brainchild, of course. Brian Earle from Christmas Past, he put out that podcast with his wish list. And Todd picked up one, Art, I think, picked up another one, and I picked up Tinsel Tunes. And so we've all run with those ideas from Brian. So I'm glad that we're all here 4 to 5 years later. So that's good.
Yeah, we're all 6 degrees from Brian Earle somehow.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you know what's not lonely is our inbox. And we got some birthday messages, some wishes, and we got them in audio format. And I want to play a couple of them. That sound good to you?
That sounds awesome.
Okay, the first one is from superfan Lenora Gilbert.
Hi, everybody. It's Lenora here, roving reporter and your Christmas freak on the street from Arizona. I'm calling in today to say happy birthday, Tinsel Tunes. Congratulations to Scott and Dwayne on 5 years of great shows. I always learn so much, and I hope to hear at least 5 more years. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Lenora. I'm not sure about 5 more years, but I'm up for giving it a go.
I'm giving it a go.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love the fact that she did all the audio. She put the music behind there. And
she does it for us for Christmas morning, too. And she always does such a wonderful job.
Yeah.
I get a huge smile whenever an email shows up from her. So thank you, Lenora. Do you want to read the email that she also sent us with her end of summer plans here?
Oh, for sure. This is a nice email. So it starts off with, hi, Scott and Dwayne. Off to the Golden Glow Christmas convention tomorrow. Got my rumbles. I had to be careful how I say that with my accent.
Rumbles. Rumballs. Yeah.
Rumbles. And Santa fudge packed up for the Christmas cookie contest. That sounds good. Christmas lampshade in tow for the hat contest. I'd like to see some photos on that.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah. I just wanted to send along a congratulations for your show anniversary. Congratulations. And some emojis. It looks like a balloon, wine bottle, and party streamers.
Yeah, streamers. Yep.
Yep. Congratulations, Lenora. So that's lovely.
She also sent us a link to this Golden Glow Christmas convention that she's going to. It's goldenglow.org. And you can check that out. It looks like a lot of fun. And I really hope that there are a lot of pictures from this one when she's done.
Yes, I thought I'd go and check that out. So it's about vintage and antique Christmas decorations, lights, anything along those lines. We've got nothing like that here where I live, and doubt the whole of New Zealand, to be honest. But I would love to go to something like that.
Yeah, it sounds pretty neat. The only hesitation I have is that I assume all vintage things are haunted, and that keeps me safe because I don't bring them in my house. But I sure would like to check it out.
Yeah, well, I did get another email from Lenora. So she, as she mentioned, she's a raving reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a possibility that we might see some photos come through, or maybe some more information. And if so, I'll stick them up on the Tinsel Tunes podcast Facebook page.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have another birthday wish from Todd Killian from the Christmas Clatter podcast.
Happy birthday, Tinsel Tunes. Congratulations to Wayne and Scott. 5 years. Man, it seems like a long time, but it doesn't seem like it's been that long. You guys have grown Tinsel Tunes into a stalwart of Christmas podcasts, and congratulations. Such a great achievement. Most people don't make it past 7 episodes doing a podcast. You guys got 5 years in. I know, Dwayne, you started this, and Tinsel Tunes has been through some changes, but man, you guys have made it better than ever, and congratulations, and can't wait for the next 5 years.
Well, thank you, Todd. Everybody's talking about these 5 years, Dwayne. I feel a lot of pressure on our back. I'm not sure how I feel about that part, but thank you, Todd. I really appreciate that. And we have one more email from Jerry Davila from the Totally Rad Christmas podcast.
Wow, Dwayne, Scott, I cannot believe it has been 5 glorious years of Tinsel Tunes. We've learned quite a lot about some of these songs and hymns, and I'm excited to learn more. Now, I do got to say, as Jerry D, that's me, as a, you know, the host of Totally Rad Christmas and the guy who's known for being on every podcast, I'm hoping that maybe in year 6, you guys have me on your show and we can talk really cool music. So anyway, congratulations. This is a phenomenal feat. 5 years is amazing. And, you know, happy birthday to Tinsel Tunes. So can't wait to see where it's going from here. Later, dudes.
Well, thank you, Jerry. I really appreciate those wishes. Hey, everybody. Minutes after Dwayne and I finished recording this episode, we got a late birthday entry from Jack Ford from the Total Christmas podcast. And I wanted to make sure we add it. So here it is.
Hello? Hello? Is this thing on? Hello? Right. I just want to welcome... Nope. I just want to say happy birthday to Tunsel Tun... Nope. I can do it. Hi, I'm Jack. And I just want to say thank you for... No, that's not it. Okay. Hold on. I can do it. Welcome to... That's not it. Okay. Hi, it's Tinsel Tunes. You're 28 years old. You're not 28. Hold on, I can do it. Okay, I got it. I'll write it down. Hold on, give me a second. I just want to wish Bane Dwaley and not Skewman. That can't be right. Okay, I can do this. Hi, this Jingle Jank has been going for... It's not Jingle Jank. Okay. I can do it. Okay, if you... That's not it. Hi, you're 5 years old. Congratulations for being 5 years old. I've forgotten what you're called, but I really like your show. Is it one of those murder ones? The podcast about murder peoples? Is that what it is? No? Okay, let me start again. I can do it. Give me a second. Hold on. Hi, you're listening to Jack, and this is a brand new episode of the Total Christmas... That's not it. What am I doing wrong here? Okay, this is very straightforward. Okay, I'm ready. Right. Merry Christmas to Tinsel Tunes, Christmas... Hello, Scott and Dwayne. I said the names right. Congratulations on... What have you done? Have you had a baby? They've had a baby. Scott and Dwayne, congratulations on the birth of your brand new baby boy. I hope you name it after me. Jack, or you could call it Jack. That's a good idea. Girls, can you come and do this for me, please?
I'm Robin.
I'm Juno.
Congratulations to Dwayne and Scott for the 5-year anniversary of Tinsel Tunes. Keep up the great work.
Tinsel Tunes. I love Tinsel Tunes.
A huge thank you to Jack, Robin, and Juno for those wonderful birthday wishes. Thank you so much, girls. No thanks to you, Jack. The rest of it was rubbish. All right, we're going to join the episode already in progress. Should we get into our song today? It's a good one.
I think we should.
Yeah. I had the idea for this one because we battled this song on the Christmas Morning podcast recently. It's O Little Town of Bethlehem. Do you have any history with this song?
I didn't think I did until I started to hear some of the samples that we're going to come up with.
Okay.
I listened to that episode on Christmas Morning, and the three songs that you had on there, when I listened to them, I thought, and I have to agree with Bran on those songs. They weren't the most exciting songs, and I didn't recognize that the song that we're going to be covering is actually the same song because there's different versions.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Not versions as in singers, but yeah, different compositions. And when I was listening to those episodes, those songs on Christmas Morning, I'm like, there's something odd about what I'm listening to.
That's funny.
Yeah, and then when I started the research on this episode, I figured it out, as we're going to get into later.
Yeah.
But I wasn't completely jumping for joy when you said, hey, let's do Little Town of Bethlehem, because up to that point, I'd only heard what you guys had played, and I'm like, this is not going to be good.
Yeah, the ones that were available on Bandcamp, those are obviously independent and mostly largely unsigned artists. I thought there would be more variety in the way the song was played. Sometimes there is. In that case, no, there really wasn't. A lot of them just played it straight, which is the way I refer to just playing it the way that we know it versus coming up with something interesting or original about it. But there's a ton of history to this song, and that's always something that I like getting really into the weeds with. And you did a bunch of great research, and then I go through and take your rough draft and I add some more to it. And I think we've got something really interesting here today.
It did turn out to be quite an interesting song, so I'm glad that we're covering it this time around.
Do you want to start with the introduction?
So the song is a Christmas carol based on the 1868 text written by Phillips Brooks. And Phillips Brooks was an Episcopal priest who was a rector of the Church of the Holy Trinity in Philadelphia, and later of Trinity Church, Boston. So he was inspired when he visited the village of Bethlehem in the Sandrick of Jerusalem in 1865. So 3 years later, he wrote the poem for his church, and his organist Lewis Redner added the music, so that it was a poem that had music added to it.
Just like pretty much every carol I've ever researched, right?
Exactly. And that's where it gets interesting, because as we'll touch on shortly, there's different tunes that have been added to that poem. But the song itself, the carol resonates the themes of peace and stillness following the American Civil War.
Right. So this was about 2 years after.
Yeah.
It might have ended in 1865, so maybe it was 3 years. But really close on the heels of that, it was absolutely devastating to a lot of areas in the United States. And the effects were felt for a very, very long time. So 3 years may sound like a long time. It's not in the scale of destruction. The way that it touched people's families and lives. A lot of people died.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm not familiar with the details of the Civil War. I mean, I know of the Civil War. I'd have to Google any information about the years. Yeah. And
North versus South, that's what it was, slavery, yeah.
So it's interesting that this is a result of that.
Yeah, and it's not the first song that we've come across that is a result of it either. It doesn't come to my mind which is the other one that was written right after the Civil War, but I know there's at least one out there, and I don't know. Somebody write in and tell me how wrong I am. Everybody loves to do that. Dwayne, we don't have a version that we would call the definitive version, because this is an old carol. It's not like when we did an Andy Williams song and we said that the Andy Williams version is the definitive one. So I thought I would just pick one that's a really beautiful version with a choir, because that's kind of what I think of when I think of these carols of this sort. Is that fair?
Yeah, in fact, that's what I was going to suggest. Is this is more of a song that you would hear in a big open church.
Yeah.
And you do hear it maybe at carols by candlelight, but typically it's not a version you would hear a lot on the radio and,
right,
and pushed by the TV stations.
And I went to church when I was a kid, and this was always one that would get sung, this and Silent Night.
Yeah.
So this is the way I remember it. And you're right. You don't turn on Sirius XM or some of the music stations and hear this that often. So why don't we play a version? This is from 2012, and they were called the Mormon Tabernacle Choir then. I know they've changed their name since. It's something on Temple Square. But at least the way that it is in the YouTube link that's in the show notes, it'll read as the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Thank you.
So that was the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, just a beautiful version of it. And
yeah,
it's a chorale. I don't have the words to describe this well. This isn't something that I spend a lot of time with, but I don't know, the hair on my arm stood up when I heard that. It's very, very pretty.
It is very pretty. And yeah, I would say it's a chorale version, typically sung by choirs.
Yeah. And if you watch the video, which I would encourage you to, it's a very well-produced video. There's also a full orchestra playing along with it. So it's really nice. And I don't know, I watched it for a little longer than I did some of the other videos. You know, we get all our songs from YouTube if we can, because it's very easy to share those links. And a lot of times I'll start the recording in one tab and I'll go to another tab. This one, I actually sat there and watched it for a bit because yep. It was so nice. It was really pretty. I have some history of the inspiration of this song that I found. So Phillips Brooks found the inspiration for this hymn after the Civil War, as you mentioned. It was during a year abroad in Europe in the Holy Land. This was in 1865 and 1866, and I looked at his birth date and figured out that he was 30 years old when he wrote this. While traveling, he wrote to the children of his parish about visiting Bethlehem on Christmas Eve, and this reminded him of the hymns being sung by his home congregation. It was not until 3 years later, however, in 1868, that he reflected on this experience by writing a poem for his Sunday school students, and the first stanza began, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by." When I read that, Dwayne, I can't remove it from the underlying song that I'm familiar with, which we're going to get to in a second. I actually read it in the same pacing that the song is. I can't even think of it as a poem, although it makes sense that it started that way. It's just, it's one and the same to me. The church organist, Louis Redner, set the words to the music of a composition he titled St. Louis, and the hymn had its first performance at the Holy Trinity during the last Christmas season before Brooks left in 1869 to become the rector of Boston's Trinity Church, which is another very large, well-known church in the United States. So this is where I think it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
And this was the part that I was excited to talk to you about, because you even left some notes in here about it.
Yeah.
So we have a recounting by Louis Redner, and he says, "As Christmas of 1868 approached, Mr. Brooks told me he had written a simple little carol for the Christmas Sunday school service, and he asked me to write the tune to it. The simple music was written in great haste and under great pressure. We were to practice it on the following Sunday. Mr. Brooks came to me on Friday and said, 'Redner, have you ground out that music yet to O Little Town of Bethlehem?' I replied, 'No,' but that he should have it by Sunday. And on the Saturday night previous, my brain was all confused about the tune. I thought more about my Sunday school lesson than I did about the music. But I was roused from sleep late in the night, hearing an angel strain whispering in my ear, and seizing a piece of music paper, I jotted down the treble of the tune as we now have it. And on Sunday morning, before going to church, I filled in the harmony. Neither Mr. Brooks nor I ever thought the carol or the music to it would live beyond that Christmas of 1868. And he finishes by saying, "My recollection is that Richard Macaulay, who then had a bookstore on Chestnut Street west of 13th Street, printed it on leaflets for sale. Reverend Dr. Huntington, rector of All Saints Church in Worcester, Massachusetts, asked permission to print it in his Sunday school hymn and tune book called The Church Porch. And it was he who christened the tune St. Louis." So that actually disagrees with a thing that I pulled earlier where it said that he named the tune St. Louis. It says here that his recollection is that Reverend Dr. Huntington named it St. Louis. Now, Dwayne, I want to play just the tune, the melody of St. Louis for you, and then I'm going to have you talk about the alternate melody. So here's St. Louis. Now, that was not me plunking on a children's piano there. That was a MIDI file that I found on Wikipedia that was talking about this. But it has it down at its most simple.
Yep.
And I wanted to play that. Now, for me, as an American, that is the tune to O Little Town of Bethlehem that I have always known. But there's more to the story. So why don't you take it from this point and talk about what you know as the tune?
Right. So what I know is the tune is called Forest Green. So in the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth, And sometimes in the US, especially in the Episcopal Church, the English hymn tune Forest Green is used instead. So we also have a sample of that.
I am familiar with that tune, but I would say, and I'm just going to make a guess off the top of my head, that 90% of the versions I hear use the first tune and about 10% use the second. When I hear it, I think, oh yeah, that's O Little Town of Bethlehem. And I don't think I ever put the two together in my mind that there were alternate versions of the melody. It just never really dawned on me. Of course, you tell there's a difference, but you know, maybe I just thought it was like a stylistic difference. But this is a fundamental difference in the music.
It is, and that's what I mentioned before about when I was listening to those versions on Christmas morning, it's like, something's wrong,
yeah.
And that's what it was.
Yeah, I know this song, but I don't know this song, is the weird feeling that you get. So tell us where it came from.
Yeah, so the history for Forest Green is it was adapted by Ralph Vaughan Williams from an English folk ballad called The Ploughboy's Dream, which he had collected from Mr. Garman of Forest Green, Surrey, in 1903.
I have never heard this before, but I brought you a version of Ploughboy's Dream. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, please.
Yeah, the ploughboy stout and strong as ever drove a team. And 3 years since as I lay abed, I had a dreadful dream. I dreamt I drove my master's team, 3 horses travelled far. Before a stiff and armored plough, as all my masters are.
I don't think we're going to get any copyright complaints on the use of that one. But please visit the link in the show notes to hear the whole song. Dwayne, when I was in sixth grade, we had a music class, and our teacher was really, really into medieval stuff, and he spent most of the time talking about medieval style music, and this just feels like something he would have played and been way, way into.
Yeah, when I was listening to that song, I could easily see how the words could fit that tune.
Yeah, it's not a one-to-one match, but it's pretty close.
It's pretty close with some slight adjustments, and there we have our second version.
Yeah.
So then just to finish up on that, so it was adapted into the hymn tune harmonized by Ralph Vaughan Williams, and it was first published in the English Hymnal of 1906.
Okay.
So that's lengthy history, essentially. One poem, two songs.
Yeah, so we've got two very different versions of the melody for the same song. I don't know that I've come across this kind of thing. I don't want to say before. I feel like I might have, but it's not very common. Is it common to you at all?
No, and definitely nothing that comes to mind. They go, oh, that's just like such and such a song.
Yeah.
But what was interestingly is the version that I'm familiar with is the version that we normally sing at Carols by Candlelights as well. And we have a couple here where I live that we go to each year, and that song is always on the song list, using the Forest Green tune. So
okay,
that's what was familiar to me.
Well, there's even another wrinkle to all of this. And here's the last of the history section. Two versions also exist by Henry Walford Davies, and they're called, it's either Wengen or Vengen. I'm not sure. It's W-E-N-G-E-N. And the other version is just called Christmas Carol. Now, Wengen was published in Hymns Ancient and Modern in 1922, while Christmas Carol is usually performed only by choirs rather than as a congregational hymn.
Mm.
I want to point out here, I try to find both versions. Searching for something called Christmas Carol is almost impossible to do. I did find one that is labeled Wengen or Vengen. I don't know exactly which version this is. I don't know where it lies, but it is an alternate version, so I did want to play it. This is what says the Christmas Carol version by Chapel Choir of King's College. And the confusion is it also has Vengen in the title on YouTube as well. So I'm not sure which it is, but it's still pretty and fun. So let me play it.
Thank you.
Dwayne, does that sound like the Forest Green version that you're familiar with?
No.
Does it sound like it shares an ancestry? Because it feels like a third version of this song to my ears.
Yeah, it's definitely nothing like the first two. And when I put the notes in, I thought to myself, because I couldn't back these up with any other information. There's only one place where I found this. So I didn't even know if we should have put it in the notes. But I thought, hey, it might be part of the story. So that's what we're here for. So, but it's definitely not a version I'm familiar with.
No, this would show up less than 1% of the time if I've heard it at all. But it was very pretty, and this chapel choir of King's College is quite good. I would encourage you to go check out the link. I think the Brits hold their King's College stuff in very, very high regard. It's not my style of music, so I don't listen to much of it. But every once in a while, it'll come up in a playlist, especially on Spotify, and they're quite pretty.
Yeah, I'm a little bit fussy when it comes to choir type of music, when it comes to the sound quality, because, you know, that one wasn't very well mastered and recorded.
Oh, and that was the better one of the couple that I found. The other one sounded like it was recorded on a potato in the back of the thing next to a coughing child.
Yeah, everyone knows you use two potatoes. You've got to have it in stereo.
That's right. Of course, you want stereo, of course.
But yeah, if it was a nicer quality where it wasn't ear-piercing, I would listen to that. It's a part of some sort of playlist, but as soon as that quality is knocked down.
It's something I would like to experience in person.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like it would be incredibly moving, but it's not something I just turn on.
No.
You know, because I don't go seek it out and do a whole playlist of it. But it was very nice. Now, what also is nice are the versions by popular artists. And of course, we're going to beat the same drum that we beat every episode, that we have to be really careful about what versions by popular artists that we play. It's been covered by Elvis and Andy Williams and Dolly Parton, Bing Crosby, Nat King Cole. I can tell you from experience that using Elvis, Bing Crosby, or Frank Sinatra would instantly get us in trouble. So we're not going to play those.
No.
I encourage you to go out and listen to them. Boy, are they great. That Elvis version is actually quite good, even though I'm not that into Elvis.
No. In fact, when I put that originally on the playlist, that's the first Elvis Christmas songs that I didn't turn off partway through. Mm-hmm. Now, I like Elvis generally. Mm-hmm. Some of his Christmas ones, not so much like Blue Christmas. I really don't do too well. But I really, really like this version.
Yeah, I respect him as an artist. I'm not that into his Christmas music.
No, but I really, really liked his version of this song. And when I found it, I played through the whole thing on YouTube. And I will add it to a playlist, just in my general playlist. I'm just going to add it to that because it's a nice version.
Yeah, ringing endorsement from Dwayne Bailey there. I didn't turn it off halfway through.
Yeah. I didn't turn Elvis off halfway through. Yeah.
The first Elvis song I haven't turned off halfway through. We will roll the dice and play a couple of these big name versions. Here's one by Nat King Cole.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by.
That's a classic version, Dwayne.
It's a beautiful version. Anything Nat King Cole sings is just beautiful.
Yeah, and this is one of those areas, too, that's a little strange because carols and popular artists don't always go hand in hand. Sometimes they feel kind of awkward. This doesn't to me at all. It just sounded natural and beautiful. I loved it.
I always imagine myself sitting in a some sort of recliner chair with a glass of something beside the fire, even though we have Christmas in the summertime here.
Okay.
I imagine myself in front of a fire, it's snowing outside, and I've got Nat King Cole playing on a record, not a digital or CD or anything.
Right, right.
That's what Nat King Cole does to me.
The next version I have is one that you suggested, Dwayne. This is Dolly Parton.
Shine the everlasting light, the
Wayne, we've spoken about it before. Country music isn't a big thing for me, and a lot of times I don't care for slide guitar. In this song, I really liked that in the background there. There was something about it that had a almost violin-type quality to it that I thought added to the song. Did you notice it?
I did, and I'm also not one to have country music, especially this style of country, the what I'd class as the older style. So there's the...
Yeah, the older country. Yeah, exactly.
There's the bro country that's out now, which is really just rock with a bit of a country feel to it, I suppose. But I'm not really...
Like big. Hard country.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not...
Yeah, this is like that 60s, 70s style, even 50s, 60s, 70s style, old school country.
Yeah, and it fits the song really well. And I like the reflections in Dolly's voice when she sort of gets a little bit whispery and then she brings it back a little bit more powerful. And then she's
great dynamics,
and I think that when she sings songs like this, they come from her heart. She's not just singing songs with words, she's actually putting feeling behind those words.
Yeah, that's true. This wasn't just a paycheck for her. And Dolly Parton's another one that I respect the heck out of her as an artist. I don't go listening to a lot of her stuff though, but that was quite pretty. Here's a modern one that I really like. This is by Jewel. Jewel has a wonderful Christmas album, and that one is a great example of her work there. I did try to pick some various points in the song to grab clips from so that we're not always listening to the first 10, 15 seconds there. That's obviously the second verse, and I don't know who's accompanying her, whether it's her own voice or if it's a backup singer, but I really liked that.
It was a nice version. I have to admit, I have not heard Jewel's Christmas album at this point, but I definitely will.
Oh, you should check it out. It's quite good.
But yeah, that was a pretty version. Yep.
Now here's a version by Sarah McLachlan. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shine the everlasting. I chose that one because she took some liberties with the melody and the pacing, and I don't hear a lot of people make this song their own or unique in any way, and I thought that was kind of interesting. Did you notice?
Yes, I did. I was going to comment on that as well. It's an interesting version because of that, and I would hunt out the rest of the album just based on that.
Yeah, I don't know what album it's from.
No.
At least not from the YouTube link that I found, because it looked almost ad hoc. It wasn't like, oh, this is obviously part of this album. I don't know what it is, but I'm kind of inspired to go looking for more. Although there's a funny thing about Sarah McLachlan here in the U.S., Dwayne. We have a group, the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. It's the ASPCA. And their commercials on TV are gut-wrenching to watch. It's all animals in terrible, terrible condition. And I know why they do it. They do it because it works and it gets people to pay. And the music in it is Sarah McLachlan. So now her voice is associated in my mind with these commercials that I just can't even watch them. I have to change the channel when they come on. So that's a little bit unfortunate. So maybe that's why I don't have any of her Christmas music in my collection.
Yeah, oh, that's unfortunate for her, but I suppose it's something she supports.
Well, she's doing a very good thing. So I understand. So here's my favorite part of the show. This is where we find versions that are just in other genres. Those were popular versions by popular artists. This is where the show gets a bit weird. And I always love this part. You picked out some really great ones here. So we're going to run through them a little faster. This is an a cappella version by a artist or group that goes by Voice Play.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still. Above thine deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.
I love a good a cappella version, and that is a good a cappella version. Are you familiar with voice play? Because I wasn't.
Yeah, I am. They always tend to pop up when you're doing a cappella type comparisons with, you know, pentatonics and a few others. I was just going to mention, you can't see them because the camera doesn't show, but I got goose pimples because of that version.
And it's the bass voice is always my favorite, probably because I have a very low voice. And it was really, really good in that one. I'm going to have to go looking for some more voice play. If I peeled the curtain back a little bit, Dwayne finds his versions that he likes and starts the document. And then I find versions I like and we put them together and kind of just, you know, put them in a mixing bowl and mix them up. It's funny that this time I started finding my versions before I read through Dwayne's versions, and at least four of them were in both lists. And this was one of them. It just kept showing up in recommendations for me. I listened to it and I said, oh yeah, I absolutely want to play that one. And that was quite, quite good.
Yeah.
The next one is a metal version that you found by an artist who goes by Pastor Brad Rocks. And this one's instrumental, I believe. That was quite the hard version, and I kept it at a shorter clip because I know it's not going to appeal to everybody. But we were talking off mic there about how this feels like it could be in a Christmas heist movie or something. It was really neat.
I really enjoyed it, and I'm just picturing, because he's pastor. I'm assuming he's a pastor because of his name, Pastor. Yep.
I'm assuming, yeah.
I just imagine his metal-themed sermons, and
I would go to his metal themed service. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll check you out, Pastor Brad. The next one is a reggae version that you found by a group called the Reggae All Stars. That's the first version I've heard today that had a lot of alternate energy to it. This is a very slow song usually, but you can almost always guarantee that the reggae version is going to have a great beat and it's going to make you want to move. I was getting Boney M vibes from that.
Yeah, and as I mentioned with Nat King Cole making me want, I feel like I want to sit in front of a fire.
Yeah.
The reggae versions always make me want to be at the beach.
The next one is a chiptune version, because you always find a chiptune version for me, and I appreciate that. This is by an artist that goes by J.S. Salonen. I was definitely getting old Konami games like Castlevania and Metroid feels from that one. Thank you for including that. The next version's a folksy kind of version, but the backstory is a little wild on this. This is by an artist or a group called Blackmore's Night, and it includes Richie Blackmore from Deep Purple. But it's not what you're going to expect, I guarantee it.
Deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth his everlasting light.
with that one, Dwayne. I usually pull the YouTube, the audio from YouTube. I save it and I just do them all at once and then I go through them after. I thought for sure I had mislabeled this one. I was like, that's not Ritchie Blackmore. Because I expected some kind of Deep Purple-esque kind of thing. That was not it. But the guitar playing is quite good, of course.
Yeah, I've known about Blackmore's Night for quite some time, but I didn't realize they had done some Christmas songs. I didn't have time to look to see if he's done more, but no doubt at some point I'll have a bit of a look and see if he pops up again in future episodes.
I know there's at least one more Christmas song because I came across it while I was making sure that I had the right clip here. I don't remember what it was, but pretty cool. I found a trance version just because I like to show the range of some of these songs. This is a carol, a traditional hymn, yet someone was able to put it to trance music. And this is by an artist called Eros. Not really notable, but it was kind of fun. I don't know. That one doesn't give me Christmas feels. It doesn't make me long for some place where I'd be listening to that. But it's fun to hear people do interesting things with the music.
I would use that song in my light display.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I always forget about that.
Yeah, because it's got that beat to it. I can make the lights dance to the beat, and it's just got the Christmas theme to it. So it would fit into a light display for sure.
Especially when those songs have delay effects, or they come to a complete stop, and then you can kind of do really interesting things with the light show.
Exactly.
It's a lot of fun. I found a punk version. I just dig pretty deep to try to find one, but this is by an artist named Severe. I don't have any information on the artist Severe, but they are obviously British, so it felt a little bit authentic. It was fun.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible. I mean, I've heard worse punk songs.
Well, it had like an oi, oi, oi kind of thing to it that I enjoyed. That part gave me a little bit of movement.
Yeah, but I don't think it's playlist worthy. So.
Yeah, probably not. The next one is a hip-hop version, which we very rarely include, but I actually thought about it like, oh, I should go try to find one. Well, this is an artist named Crew X.
A little town of Bethlehem, how still we see the light. Above the deep and dream of sleep, the silent stars go by. Yeah, when the dark streets shine, that pure and everlasting light, the hope and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.
That had an original 80s kind of feel to it.
It did.
Like it was done on an 808 or a 909 drum machine.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was fun. We used to have commercials here way back in the 80s for answering machine. You remember answering machines, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you could buy this tape of songs that you could put onto your answering machine, and one of them was a rap song, and it was, I'm not here to take your call, but I'll be back before too long. And it just felt like the same thing to me. Yeah. It made me smile so big when I heard it, and I just wanted to play that one.
That's how we rap as fathers, you know, as Gen X fathers. We rap the same way.
Yeah, exactly. I just do it to make my daughter cringe.
Same.
And the last version is one that you brought, and I'm so glad you did. I wanted to end the playlist on a really high note. This is, I don't have a word for what the style, so I just said this was a vocal version, but it's an artist named Haley Westerner. And you pointed out that this was a singer in the group Celtic Women, and I've heard of them, obviously. So she's from New Zealand, so a hometown for you. Mm-hmm. So let me play it.
Yeah.
Dwayne, I wasn't familiar with the artist Haley. I'm not even going to try to say her last name again. I already butchered it at the beginning. quite a moving version. And I was getting the feels like when I listen to Sarah Brightman, the Broadway artist.
Yeah.
It was so, so good. And she has, and I'm talking about Haley here, so much presence when she's singing. Yeah. It's not my style of music, but I wanted to hear the whole thing. And I'm pretty sure I listened to the whole thing last night, even though it was getting late while I was putting all these clips together.
Yeah, I was surprised that she'd done this version. At time of recording, she's now 36 years old. So she started off her career very young over here in New Zealand. She did a couple of the kids' TV singing shows and whatnot, and then released some sort of pop songs, and then pretty much disappeared off my radar. And then, oh, I couldn't tell you how long ago, but I started to watch and get into the Celtic Woman songs, and then I saw her on there, and I'm like, oh, and then researched and found out that she'd joined them for a while. And but once again, she's pretty much dropped away off the radar here. But but she's certainly made a name for herself overseas in that sort of genre with Sarah Brightman. And a lot of, I think Sarah Brightman was even in the Celtic Woman myself, I think.
Oh,
I think,
really?
I think. That's didn't research, but I just, I'm pretty sure I've seen that, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
But yeah, we might hear more of Celtic Woman and possibly Haley in future episodes because I have some ideas there. So
yeah, I think that would be great. I would love to hear more of her singing. Just absolutely beautiful version. And what a great version to end on.
Oh, I think so.
After we play some silly ones. Yep. I always, you know, they always say leave them with something good. And I think we accomplished that this week. Of the versions that we listened to today, and any of them are up for grabs because there is no definitive version of O Little Town of Bethlehem, what was your favorite that we played today?
It would have to be the voice play.
Oh, yeah.
The bass that comes through, and I don't know if it's because I've got fairly good headphones, because I know you have.
Yeah.
But the bass that come through when they were singing, plus as we played that sample, there's a little part of there where they stop dead for about half a second and then carry on. I love the silence. So I really like that version out of all the ones that we've heard today, except for Nat King Cole.
Exactly. I didn't pick the Nat King Cole one, kind of because it was like, oh, well, I feel like that's cheating if I pick that one because everyone loves that one.
Yeah.
I like the Jewel version because when I was listening to it, I wanted to listen to the entire album again. It's one that's in my collection. I had to look up what it was. It's been a while. It's called Joy, a Holiday Collection. It's like a light blue kind of CD, and it's just gorgeous. Highly recommend you listen to it if you're in the mood for some a little more carol-y. It's not a pop album is what I'm trying to say, but I really enjoy it. So that was the one I wanted to pick today. It reminded me how much I enjoy her music.
Well, now that you've mentioned the album itself, I have heard some of the album in the past on past episodes.
Oh, okay.
As soon as you said Joy and it's a blue album, I thought, oh yes, I have. I've used some of the songs in the past, two or three years ago, probably.
Okay.
I've heard snippets, but I haven't heard the whole thing. But I'll definitely will this year.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that I took away today that I would like to either add to my playlist or use it as a voyage of discovery, like the version by Haley Westenra or Voice Play. I definitely want to check out more of their stuff. And that's really why we do this show. It's just two guys talking about music that we love to hear. And then we're teaching each other stuff. I love that you bring these artists that are much more familiar to you or in your part of the world, and then I learn about them. Every month this is happening and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, and vice versa. I've really started to like chiptune songs.
Yep, and I put that, we include that for me and for the older listeners. I'm sure any younger listeners are like, why in the world do they put that ancient old guy stuff in there? Well, that's why.
Yeah, and I always like what the reggae versions bring.
Yeah, the reggae versions are so much fun.
Yeah, if people ask me, what's your favorite genre of music? And it's, you know, being a musician, I have a wide range.
Yep.
But reggae is not one that comes out of my mouth. I don't go, oh, yeah, I like reggae. But when I listen to reggae, I love it. So, yeah, I'm glad we can always find a reggae version of these songs.
And they typically bring so much joy with them. You can almost feel it while you're listening to it. Same with ska. I couldn't find a good ska version.
No, I couldn't either.
On this one. It's a carol. I'll give him a pass on that one. So we'll be back next month. Dwayne, it'll be your pick. I'll let you chew on that one for a week or two, and you can tell me later what we're going to do. If you want to find out more information about the show, you can go to tinseltunes.com. If you want to get in touch with us, you can either visit our Facebook group, or you can email us at tinseltunespodcast@gmail.com. But until then, Dwayne, thanks for doing this, and Merry Christmas.
No worries. I'm glad to put another episode in the bag, and yes, Merry Christmas to everyone out there.